You're here, Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are such a privileged people, Lord, to know that you have come down in this hour. You, Father, the great creator of all things, came down with a shout, with a message to declare yourself. Using a vessel, O God, using a conduit, we call it a prophet. But Father, he was your voice to us. And so, Father, we're thankful for that voice, and we ask you, Lord, to help us. Oh God, help us to receive every single word, because we know it wasn't the words of a man. A man, his words would fail, but it was the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So grant us, Father, rapturing faith, we ask it, in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this evening we're going to run through several quotes from about 292 to 298. And we're getting very close to the end. There's only 306 paragraphs in the sermon, so probably in the next week or two we'll be closing down the study of Christ as the mystery of God revealed. So if you would be praying that God would put on my heart the next sermon of Brother Bram's that he wants us, it's not what I want. I want what he wants, because I know that when we look into his word and what he has for us, it's just like the light's coming on. So I'm excited about it. Now, from 292, he said, "Now she is now risen, and by the power of the vindicated word promised to her," amen, how a bride holds that promise, "he told me that he'd return after me." Remember the Hormel, it was Armistar woman, the bride? "He promised he'd return after me at midnight." Everybody made fun of her. But she was out there dressed up, and everybody made fun of her because they thought, well, she's just a dishwasher woman. You know, she's just kind of the cousin that's kind of been put out, you know. But she was the one. She was the elected one. See, yes, sir, to meet her headship, her redeemer, her husband, her king, her lord, her lover, her savior in the provided meeting place. He's got a place to meet him. You know, the bridegroom don't leave nothing out. He's got the ring, the identification. He's got the robe that she wears, her clothing, see? And he's got the provided place to meet her. That's in the air. Everything has been all provided. He's got the wedding supper already set, the guests already invited, already chosen. All the angels are standing around his servants at attention. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you ever heard by mortal ear, it'll be glorious, I do declare, and God's own Son will be the leading one, the full manifestation of God at that meeting in the air. Oh my, watch his vindication now. You've heard the story told of Moses and the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You've heard the story told of dreaming Joseph, of Daniel and the lions we often sing. Oh, there's many, many others vindicated in the Bible. How I long to meet them all, I do declare. By and by, the Lord will let us meet them at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to greet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing ever heard has been heard by mortal ears. It'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be that leading one at that meeting in the air. Oh my, don't you love that? Now, the threefold purpose of his great mystery of revelations has been revealed. He is the main one. That's the one. Oh my, let's sing it. I just can't preach no more. I feel so good. See, oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to greet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing every heard has been heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, he'll be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Are you going? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. See, oh my. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his, them's all types. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Daniel and the lions we often sing. Oh, there's many, many others in the Bible, which is him. And I long to meet them all, I do declare. By and by, the Lord will let us meet them at that meeting in the air. But there is one main one. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you, greet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing ever heard has been heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, he'll be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Now, we're going to meet one another over there. Let's all, the Methodists and the Baptists and whatever you are, that's born again of the Spirit of God, shake one another's hands as we sing it. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by, and I'm going to meet you, greet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing ever heard has been heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare, for God's own Son will be that leading one at the meeting in the air. Oh, that's wonderful. See what it will be? Now look, we just got to close, friends. It's nearly 2 o'clock. See, and we wait. You get supper. I've just got page after page of this yet. See, you know we're going to have to close on this. There's no end to it. It's a revelation. It's eternal as God's word is eternal. Now look, but the threefold mystery of God's great mystery is revealed. God manifested in Christ, Christ manifested in the church in order to redeem the lost, Eve, back to the original condition again. Oh my, oh, there's going to be some great times on that day. It's all right. We believe it. Don't you believe it? I just think of that song every time that I think about it. He have vindicated himself in Daniel and in Moses and in Jeremiah. What were they? They were prophets which the word of the Lord come to. See, them great men. See, you've heard the story told of dreaming Joseph, you see. Daniel and the lion's den and all these other ones, you know, they're what were they? They were prophets, see? But the main one, God was just temporarily typing in them. He typed himself in Adam knowing what was right, but walked out to redeem his wife because she was wrong. Christ didn't have to be sin, but he walked out, took sin to redeem his lost child, see? He typed himself in Moses in the bulrush, and you've heard of fearless David and his sling. You've heard the story told of dreaming Joseph the prophet and of Daniel and the lions we often sing. Oh, there's many others in the Bible, and they're all in the Bible. They was all manifested in him, though. See, without him, they're all gone, see? And I have to become part of that to be him. Amen, see? And I long to meet them all, I do declare. That's right. But God's own Son, he'll be that leading one at that meeting in the air. Now, Hebrews 11 said they would not be perfect without us. Hands and feet cannot be perfect without the brains, the knowledge, the head, and so forth. See? And we're all perfected in him. So by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Free from judgment, passed from sin unto death. Amen. God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Don't you love him? I love him. I love him. Because, Lord Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon these handkerchiefs, Lord, and heal the sick right now in prayer. And how was he revealed? Because he first loved me. What did he do? And purchased my salvation. Oh, on Calvary Street, glory. That great angel of the covenant, that one who was with Moses in the wilderness, that one who came to Paul on the road to Damascus, that same one permitted his picture to be taken with us, right there. The same one that was in the Picture in Life magazine, that's right there, the other day, the same word by the same God, through the same channels, by the same way, by the same promise. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst, then he's here. The angels of God are encamped about those who fear him. That hangs only to his word. No man can respect that word without fearing God. See? So what is Brother Branham saying in these few paragraphs besides singing? You know, we can look at that and say, well, there's really nothing there to preach on, so we'll just, you know, there's a whole lot to preach on, brother. Just one thought I'm going to look at tonight, and that's Hebrews chapter 1. Notice it all starts out God. That one. He keeps seeing that one, the main one, that one. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Who's doing the speaking? God. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. That's how Brother Vail always put it, in Son. whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So it is all about God. It is not about the vessel God used to speak through, whether they be vessels of prophets or his own son. Notice it says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake. And then it tells us how God spoke in times past and through what vessels he spoke. But it's all about him. Him doing the speaking. Now from ashamed of him, Brother Brown said there, there he is with them angels, the message, which was the seven breaking of them seven seals that revealed serpent seed and all these things here. And to show that it is his very covering, it's his supreme authority. He is supreme and he is wigged or covered. The Bible said that he changes countenance or he changed himself and morph. The word come from the Greek word and morph, which means a Greek actor that plays many parts. Today he is one thing. In the next act, he's something else. He was God the Father in one act. He was God in the Son, God the Son in another act. In other words, God the Son was actually God playing out the role of a Son in his Son. Because the Son said, I can do nothing but what the Father shows me first. God the Son in another act, and he's the Holy Ghost. He's God the Holy Ghost in this act. See, there he is. His word is still supreme. We're living in the last days. So who came down with the shout? God. What's the shout? The message. Whose message is it? God's message. It's not William Branham's message. It's God's message. Who is that picture of there? You say that was God's prophet. I say that was God standing above his prophet. Showing the Father is above the prophet. You understand? Now, so you see, it is the same God all the time. So do not focus on the vessel, because God changes vessels to manifest himself to man. But in the vessel of his Son, God manifested himself as he has never manifested himself before. Because he manifested himself in Joseph, a part of himself. Manifested a part of himself in Daniel, in Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in Samuel, in all the prophets, in Moses and all the prophets, in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But they were just a portion. They had it by portion. You and I have it by portion. But God himself manifested his entirety in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, and Jesus was a pattern and example for all sons to follow. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and all sons must be first tried and tested. So we're living in that day when God has set forth the time appointed for the adoption. And remember, the Son cannot be adopted, though he be a son, until he first has the mind of his Father. That's where we are at right now. We're getting the mind of the Father. And it was no different with John the Baptist. He said those very same words in describing what took place in his ministry. Now, didn't John say, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness? Not, look at me, I'm John the Baptist. Hey, look at me. The Bible spoke of me. Hallelujah. He said, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. Well, whose voice was it? I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make ready the way of the Lord. So we have the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. You don't look at the vessel. You look at God who is using the vessel. You don't worship that vessel. That vessel isn't God. It's just a mask that God chose to work through and to express himself through. You don't worship the burning bush. You don't worship the pillar of fire. You don't worship the cloud in the wilderness. We don't worship that picture there of the cloud there. And we don't worship the lick of fire over Brother Bram's head. It's a picture. As Brother Vell said, that is not the Shekinah. That's a reflection of the Shekinah. Well, isn't the bride a reflection? We don't worship the bride, do we? Huh? We don't worship the vessel. But people are worshiping the vessel in this hour. They're making men, particular men. They're putting them above God himself. And they're looking at the man, and they're supposed to just get their eyes off the man. You don't worship the vessel. The vessel isn't God. It's just a mask that God chose to work through and express himself through. You don't worship the burning bush. You don't worship the pillar of fire or the cloud or the rock that follow them in the wilderness. And yet those things were called Christ. Now, not Jesus. Christ means anointed. Not the man, but they were anointed. Christ means anointing, and God anointed those things with his presence, but that doesn't make those things God, no more than the earth is God, and yet God came down with his presence, and he anointed the earth with his presence. and the trees of the field, they clap their hands, etc. Therefore, we must always remember to focus not on the vessel that God uses, but on the God of the vessel. That is why in the wilderness, the rock was called Christ. Now, the rock was not Jesus, but it was called Christ. It was anointed. And who anointed it? God anointed it. That is what the word Christ means, anointed. And the word Christ means anointed, anointer, and anointing. So we must know that what the context is when we're looking at that in any phraseology or any words. Therefore, when God was in the pillar of fire, he was God the Father to us. But when God entered into his Son, he played out the role of an obedient son. And so Jesus, the Son of God, followed the leading of God as a son. And thus God played out the role of God the Son to the Son of God. And that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that was in Jesus came back on the church after it left him. And for the purpose of producing in the church the same results that it did in the Son of God. And that means obedient sons. That's why Paul said, if the same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, it will make alive this mortal vessel to the Word, to God, to who you are. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. That means pay close attention to. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb and in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet, a conduit, a vessel from among their brethren. Look, God could have called him whatever he wanted to call him. He could have called him a tree. He could have called him a rock. He could have called him a minister A or a minister B. He chose to use the word prophet. And he said, I will raise them up a prophet, which is a conduit, which is a vessel, from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. I will do it. It's not some man that's got a great intellect and he can really know the Bible. Look, the more intellect you've got, the less God can use you. You've got to die to your intellect. So notice then, it is not the words of a man that count, but the words of God that matter. And God said, it will be my words that I place in his mouth. Then it is not about the man, it is all about God who is speaking through the man. Now, if Brother Branham said, my absolute is the word of God, then why do we have so many people in this message can't understand that? So when the Bible says not to do a certain thing, and people say, well, you know what? My God's a good God, and he'll overlook it. Not when the Bible says not to do it. You don't need a prophet to interpret that, brother, sister, if he says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Amen. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. He shall speak what? All that I am commanding him. Didn't Jesus say, the things my Father commands me to speak, that's what I speak? The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. Then it's not about the man, it's all about the God who is speaking through the man. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So it is not what the man says of his own that matters a hill of beans. But it is what God places in the prophet's mouth, because those are not the words of a man. They are the words of God. The man is just a vessel. Then it is not about the man. It is all about God. I hope we can come to that place, because look, too many people are putting a fivefold ministry above a vindicated prophet, and they're putting a vindicated prophet above the word of God. You can't do that, brother, sister. Brother Branham, he said, my absolute is the word of God. We've got to take everything back to the word. Amen? So it is not what a man says. His own thoughts don't mean nothing to God. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. See? And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken, pay close attention unto my words. Not Moses' words, not the prophet's words, my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'm going to require it of you. So when a vindicated prophet speaks and God is speaking lip to lip, that's God speaking. then how can you take a fivefold ministry above God speaking? Therefore, in getting our eyes off of the vessel God uses and our eyes onto the God who is using the vessel, it is all about Him. It's not about the vessel, it's about God. Therefore, I do not buy for 1 minute all this talk of having a hierarchy like they do in the Catholic Church. That same spirit is right in this message. You know, they say, well, it's a prophet, then a teacher, then me, the pastor, then whoever. Hogwash. God never promised to speak mouth to mouth with a teacher. God never promised to speak mouth to mouth with a pastor. He did promise to speak mouth to mouth with a prophet, and He said, I will vindicate the one that you listen to. Therefore, in getting our eyes off the vessel God uses and our eyes onto God who is using the vessel, it's all about Him. It's never about the vessel. It's all about God. Therefore, as I said, this hierarchy stuff, look, this stuff is Catholic. Right now in this message, you're preaching a hierarchy. Some people are saying Brother Branham, Brother Vail, Brother Zwanko, and then this certain guy. Or Brother Branham, and then Brother Vail, and then me. I'm third in line. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the guys who are saying it. I don't say that. I don't say that. That's a bunch of nonsense. Pure nonsense. They're also making the whole message a mystery. It's like Mystery Babylon. The mystery, you know, listen, all you got to do is study some of the old writings, like Hyslop's Two Babylons. And you're going to find that all these mysteries, you know, these mystery religions, like you have the, who are the guys that wear the funny hats and the, you know, not the Shriners, but the other guys that are the Masons. You know, the Masons, that's just a mystery religion. The Illuminati, it's just a mystery religion. The Catholic Church, just a mystery religion. These are religions that are all just full of mysteries. You just got to believe because, you know, we say so. Listen, we had a vindicated prophet that told us that the mysteries were finished. There's only one thing that you have to know. And that's not a thing, it's Him. Jesus Christ. That's all you have to know, is to know Him. And that'll settle every mystery. They say, first the prophet, then minister so-and-so, then me, blah, 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 to borrow a phrase from Brother Vail, so endeared himself to, he said, that's a bunch of hogwash. There's no hierarchy with God. It is God, period. Show me one prophet that died for your sins. Show me one prophet that redeemed you. Come on. Show me one prophet that did anything other than yielding himself and dying to himself so that God could use his mouth. Then what's it all about? It's not about the prophets. It's about God. It's about God. It's about time that the bride gives God the preeminence. And to show you what God thinks of the vessels, he said, but the prophet, notice the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Doesn't matter. Look, doesn't matter. God is not a respecter of persons. If a man who is a genuine prophet of God speaks words which God did not tell him to speak and says, God said it, that man is calling God a liar and he shall surely die. Matters not how many times God used that vessel. God sent a prophet with a message to a people to deliver the people, the message. Then he said, now go, don't go back the way you came, go a different route. Well, then another prophet came along and said, God said, it's okay, you can go back the same way. He went back the same way and he got eaten by a lion. Or it was a bear, one of those things. It was a lion, I think it was. He died. You know why? Because he didn't listen to God. It matters not how many times God uses that vessel. If he ventures out and speaks presumptuously, that's it. He's gone. So how do you know the words spoken through the vessel are God's words? If God said them, then it is up to God to honor what he said. And God will vindicate. He will, as Brother Brown said, interpret what he said by bringing it to pass. How many think that you got a better position with God than Moses did? Anybody? I hope not. You know why? Because God told Moses, he said, speak to the rock. And Moses got angry with the people. He wasn't angry with God. He was angry with the people. And he took his rod and he smote that rock. And God said, for that, you're not going in. 40 years of obedience. 40 years of obedience. 40 years of listening to the guff that he received from the people. And just got fed up one day and smote that rock. And God said, for that, you're not going in. Now, it doesn't mean he's lost, because he's going to come back to the Jews. He had to die first, because remember, he that speaks presumptuously shall die. God told Adam, doesn't mean Adam's lost, but the day you eat thereof, the day you die, and before 1,000 years was up, one day with God is 1,000 years, Adam died. Hallelujah. But you know what? That was before the penalty was paid. We have the penalty. And Jesus paid the price of death for you and I. And if we've entered into him, that account's been settled. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Any man that does not come with thus saith the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of that man. In fact, I, to be honest with you, you don't have to be afraid of a man that comes with thus saith the Lord, but you got to be afraid of the God who the man was speaking for. You understand? Because when you're hearkening to that prophet, you're actually hearkening to the God who's using that prophet's mouth. Now, throughout his ministry, Brother Branham taught the people how to have faith in God. And then he showed us how that we are to place our faith in God through the channel or through the conduit that God is using for his conduit. In other words, he instructed the people that they must go to God and say, okay, God, I know that you know me. So to show me that you have heard my prayer, use this man here and reflect yourself through this man so I can get my answers as I need. Because revelation comes from God through his prophet. Amos 3 and 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveal it to his servants, the prophets. From the third Exodus, Brother Branham said, but this time, glory to God, the pillar of fire that we see among us, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium, where he will return to his people in that great millennium reign after his Exodus, where after this Exodus, where we'll live eternally with him. He always has the word of the Father, always proves that it's right. We are in an exodus, and in leaving and turning the tapes off in a moment, oh my friends, my brothers, both present and that will hear the tapes, let me as your brother and citizen of the kingdom of God come out in this exodus. For all that's left behind will bear the mark of the beast, come out of Babylon, come out of this confusion, come out of these systems and serve the living God. And let this great angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now he's the pillar of fire in the same form that he was back there, bringing that first Exodus, bringing the second Exodus, and here he is with the third Exodus. The first Exodus, what did he do? He brought them out of the natural land to the natural land. The second Exodus, he brought them out of the spiritual condition into a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now he's bringing them from a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost right back into the eternal land of the millennium and the great hereafter. Same pillar of fire by the same anointed system, the same God doing the same thing, and the same word declared the first one, declared the second one, and the same word declared the second one has declared the third one. And here we see it among us. Come out of this chaos. Come to the living God, come to the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and now he's in our flesh, dwelling among us. Come out and serve the living God while we bow our heads. Too many people compromise. Too many people just stay in that Babylon condition. You've got to come out. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, God used a certain channel to let us know that he's here. Notice the words that Brother Branham uses here to bring this forth. He says, somebody just look up to God and say, God, that man. Who? The channel. He don't know me. Who's he? The channel, William Branham. He knows nothing about me. I'm a perfect stranger to him. Who? Him. The channel. the conduit. But let my faith touch you, Lord, and to know what's the matter with me, Lord. You know all about me. You know who I am, the same as you knowed who Peter was, same as you knowed Nathaniel, as you knowed what was wrong with the woman with the blood issue, and this man, who is this man? He's the channel, he's the conduit. Tell me, let him tell me that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then, Lord, let my faith touch you. And if he'll do that, now Brother Bram is referring to God, if God will do that and infallibly prove himself here, how many of you believe him, God, with all your heart? If you'll do it, at least one or two or three people for a witness, well, God bless you. I'll never forget years ago, I was talking to Brother Vail on the Godhead. And I said to him, Brother Vail, when the scripture says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, could we say that God was in Christ and Christ was in the man Jesus? And he said, Brian, do you want to go crazy? Get your eyes off the vessel. I don't care if it was a pillar of fire or the burning bush or the cloud that followed the children in the wilderness or the rock that the Bible said was Christ. It is not the vessel we should be focusing on, but the God who uses the vessel. It wasn't the vessel that did those things that brought forth the water and all. It was God who did those things. And if we would smarten up in this message and get our eyes on the God who used William Branham, the God who used Lee Vail, the God who used your pastor, the God who uses anyone, we'd never get our eyes on the man. We'd get our eyes on the God who's using the man. So I learned an important principle, and I know that that principle is true and right with the scripture because Jesus himself said the same thing. He said, if you don't believe me, the vessel that God is using, then believe me for the very work's sake. Because there is a greater witness than I, and the vessel, and that's the vessel, and that is my Father that dwelleth in me, he it is that doeth the works. He says, the Son can of himself do nothing. William Branham of himself could do nothing. But what he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. John 10:37, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you might know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. John 14:10, believest not thou that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, when vindication is speaking, shut up and just listen. Therefore, I hope that you can see that we must get our eyes off the vessel that God is using if we are to recognize who it is that is doing the greater works. That is why I thought those quotes that we read were so striking a few weeks ago. And I'd like to read them again so we can look at them in the light of this thought on the conduit of God. You see, the conduit is not God, and yet it becomes God to the people. Yet, if we are to truly understand the conduit, we must recognize one principal thing. The conduit is nothing without the one in the conduit doing the works. Even Jesus said those very words. He said, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. That was the Son of God. And then we got big shot preachers. Look at me. Look at me. I'll make sure you get to the rapture. I'll make sure you're in. You know, Brother Branham told almost every single person, whoever talked to him about the tent, just make sure you're there. Make sure you're there. You make sure that you're there. Why? Because the bride hath made herself ready. Some preacher didn't make you ready. The bride hath made herself ready. You see, that's why I told brothers that left the church, I said, are you listening to Brother Branham every day? Oh, I listen to Brother Branham. I said, that's not what I asked you. Because if you're listening to Brother Branham every day, when I'm up here preaching, you'll hear a confirmation in my sermon from what you heard, Brother Branham, on the tape during the week. That's God giving it to you with two barrels. And if you say you're not getting anything when you come to church, it's because you're not getting anything during the week. Amen? John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. This is coming from Jesus, the Son of God. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So what about these preachers that stand up and bear witness to themselves? Well, you got Brother Branham, and then you got Leavell, and now you got me. Yeah? You're bearing witness to yourself. You know what that says? You're a liar. Because Jesus himself said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But there's another that beareth witness of me. Show me one preacher today living that's got vindication. Or God is backing up, thus saith the Lord. You won't find it. But we can bear witness to ourselves. Hogwash. You know, that was a pretty good word to use. Jesus said, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things that I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor have you seen his shape. John 8:26. I have many things to say of you and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake unto them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, if I do always those things that please him. For I do always those things that please him. All right. So from the unveiling of God, Brother Branham says, as we continue. But then the real believer, they couldn't explain it, but they believed it anyhow. They went on through. The veil tradition of unbelievers taken away, you see God. When the veil of traditions has been removed, you can see that God is still God of his word. He still keeps his word. He's the God, the author of his word, that is hid behind skin veils to others. Yes, that's right. To those who cannot go behind the veil, he's still behind skin veils. Notice, when we become part of him, as you are the veil that veils him, that in other words, the conduit, you are part of him, and as long as Christ is in you, as Christ was in God, because God was in him, that made him God. Notice that because God was in him is what made him God. So who are you worshiping, the man or the God that was in the man? And as Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become part of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. See, you become part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. Then it's veiled to the unbeliever. That's why they're going to pick fault, because the unbeliever hangs around looking to find fault, Brother Branham said. But you know that he's in you. You're templing Christ that's behind the veil, the skin. Then we become behind, because of this veil, the veil again in human flesh hides God the word from the unbeliever. No wonder they can't take the vessel, the conduit. It hides God from them. It's hiding the word from them when they were not meant to see it. Because why? They got their eyes in the vessel. And when you got your eyes in the vessel, you're not going to see God. You're looking at the wrong thing. As it is written, you are written epistles, the Bible said. Now, what is an epistle? It's a written word, and you are the written. Other words, you read it like this. He'd say, you are written epistles, or you are the word that has been written, made manifest. Nothing can be added to it. You can't say, I'm a written epistle, and I'm living some other kind of something, but what this has already wrote, because nothing can be added or taken away. In other words, when the vessel, no matter how reflecting Christ that vessel is, if he goes off on his own, that vessel is no longer God's conduit. He's on his own. Until he repents. Now, isn't that exactly what Jesus is saying in this prayer? And listen, I don't believe a vindicated prophet's going to go off on his own. You know why? Laying aside the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Brother Branham said, that's election. Let's go on to election. That's why Brother Vail said that means quit fussing. with people over who's right, who's wrong. You know why? Because you're focused on election. Hey, bride doesn't fight with bride. Forget it, brothers. Bride doesn't fight with bride. I'm focused on my election. I'm not focused on your election. I'm focused on my election. You're focused on your election. There should only be two people you're looking at. Yourself and God. And you're looking at God and saying, God, have mercy to this one. God, be merciful. May the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, sanctify me wholly. You don't look at other people. Now, isn't that exactly, but you know what? All these people, because they want a God with skin on it, they think that we can go in as a group. We're not going as a group. It's as individuals. Now, hopefully, by God's grace, many in the room will be there. By God's grace. But not as a group. Not Grace Fellowship Tabernacle is all going. I never said that. God's prophet never said that. Brother Brown never said, Tabernacle, you know, I was your pastor, so that makes you in. He never said that. Brother Bell never said that about his church. It's God in an individual walk. Now, isn't that exactly what Jesus is saying in his prayer to the Father about you and me being one with him, even as he was one with God? We are one by manifesting the same word. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And why did Jesus keep them? Because he was keeping God's word. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Now, here it is. Catch this. This is what it all comes down to. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why do people hate you? Because you've got the word. Because, listen, they can say all they want to about you, but listen, Jesus said they hate you because you've got the word. So for them to say different, they're calling Jesus a liar. Because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Did the world hate you before you received the word? That's the question I've got. Absolutely not. They hate you because of the word. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, this word sanctify means to set aside for service. So he's speaking of God separating the believer from everything that is not truth. Separate them, Father, by thy truth, for thy word is truth, and then thy word is what separates. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And this is made possible only by our having the same word in us that was in the Son of God. For the Father is the Word, and we heard Brother Bram say in the message, unveiling of God, and the glory, I'll read that in a minute. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, from the quote, Brother Bram explains that, from unveiling of God. He said, when this veil is took off the Word, the traditions is taken off the Word, as Jesus once said, when you see me, you see the Father. See, God and His Word is one. Now you understand. And then he went on to say, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you have seen the Father. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father God, because the Word is the Father, the Word is God. And the Word made manifest is God himself taking his own Word and manifesting it among believers. Now, I believe before we're at the end time that capstone ministry is going to be in the bride. She's going to have the third pole, that's the spoken word. She's going to be fully yielded to God. She's going to be an obedient child of God. In fact, what is interesting is there's a beautiful quote on the blood moons. Brother Brown talks about it, and he said, you know, in the hour that's coming, when the moon shall be turned to blood and the sun shall not give her light, he said the presence of God will be in the earth doing many mighty wonderful miracles. He's got to be here to do it. Amen? show us the Father and it'll satisfy. And brother, didn't Brother Brown say when the squeeze comes down, he says the bride will have the word and she'll know what to do with it? From show us the Father and it'll satisfy. He said, now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time, the Bible said so, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. Says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. And then Brother Brown says, in other words, so we see here that Brother Brown is going to explain what Jesus meant when he said to Philip, you see the Father express himself through the Son. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world. His attitude towards the people, see? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? And that's why I don't understand when we claim to worship a supernatural God and we don't believe in the supernatural. Like Josh Jagger said, that's message 101. Ought to be. From he swore by himself, Brother Brown said, and God himself living in this, making a tabernacle, and he dwelt in Christ. There's God walking around. He said, I and my Father are one. My Father is in me. Said, show us the Father, Philip. Philip said, show me the Father, and it'll satisfy. And Jesus said, Philip, I've been so long with you, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why say, show me the Father? I and my Father are one. My Father's living in me now. It's not me that is doing the works. It's him that dwells in me. He it is that does the works. So my. And from divine healing, Brother Brown said, Thomas looked at him, or Philip rather, and said, Lord, show us the Father. Who is this Father you're going to? He said, why, I've been so long with you, you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. The Father is in me. Believe that I and the Father are one. Or believe me for the very work's sake, that the Father is in me. It's not me that does these works. It's the Father that dwells in me. He's the one doing the works. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You're not the Holy Spirit. But if there's anything, he's not the Holy Spirit. But those messages he preaches was not of him. It's the Holy Spirit in him. Is that right? Well, some of these days, this whole little old frothy frame of his is going to drop down. But his Holy Spirit and his spirit become one. And as that Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the grave, also brings his body up in the resurrection, you see. So that's the hope that we have today. Hallelujah. From question and answers on seals, he says, now, I want to ask you, does that Holy Ghost dwell within you? Is that right? Do you talk to him, speak to him, pray to him? All right. That's all I want. Thank you very much. See, now, do you get it? I'll ask you one. How did it come that when Jesus in John 13 said, when the Son of Man shall be, which now is in heaven, shall come to earth. See, the Son of Man, which now is in heaven, and here he stood right there talking to the person. Now, you answer that to me. Jesus and the Father was a self-same person, just the same as the Holy Spirit in me. Did you get that? Jesus and the Father were the self-same Holy Spirit, just the same as the Holy Spirit is in me. Well, what does that make you then? It makes you and the Holy Spirit one self-same person. Because your spirit's gone. His spirit's in there. You're looking to me preaching, but it's not me. What vessel you're seeing, it's not the vessel. It's not me that can speak a word that could bring, as you know, an animal. Sit there and look at it and kill that animal and eat it. That's creative power. That doesn't lay in a human being. This is good stuff, brother, sister. When we get our eyes on him, quit focusing on... Look, Balaam focused on Israel and all he saw was their dirty laundry. And when you focus on one another, you're going to see dirty laundry. But when you focus on God, you don't see dirty laundry. You see God. From question and answer on the seal, he said, it's not me that could take a little boy here laying, and the doctor laying him on his back with heart trouble tonight, and say, thus saith William Branham. No. Thus saith the Lord, it's finished. And bring him down to the doctor, and the next day, and it's all gone. A kid with leukemia, till his eyes were bulged out. and yellow all over in his stomach until they've taken it to the hospital to give it blood and things to even get it. And in 5 minutes' time, cry for a hamburger and take it back to the doctor the next day and can't find a trace of it. That's thus saith William Branham. That's thus saith the Lord. Yet he is an individual different from me, but the only way that he's expressed is through me. See, that's how Jesus and the Father was. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Now, the Son of Man shall ascend from heaven, which now is in heaven. See, what was it? He was omnipresent because he was God. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to blow away a lot of people that are listening in that want to fight. It wasn't me that turned that storm, but it was my words, but it was God speaking. Because Jesus said, if you want to understand John 14:12, he said, he or whoever believeth in me, Brother Branham said, in order to believe in him, you have to have the Holy Ghost. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, for I go to my Father. Then he said, and whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. You can't dissect and say John 14:12 is one thing and John 14:13 is another thing. It's the same thing. Jesus never spoke without the Father telling him what to say. And he said, before you even ask, I will answer it. And so how many times have you in prayer yielded yourself to the Holy Ghost and you pray for something and that thing is on its way. It's already been done even sometime before you even prayed it. You didn't know. And you find out the next day it already took place. God already answered the prayer. Why? Because that wasn't you. That wasn't even your vessel. That was God placing that thought in your vessel for you to just speak it, to bring skin on it. Hallelujah. I've seen too many times God answer prayer. And it's been done. Is that the vessel? No way. We just had a whole sermon tonight. It's not the vessel. Get your eyes off the vessel. It's God. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. My question to you is, are you led by the Spirit of God? Then speak and go forward. Speak and go forward. We sit around, we're beaten down, the devil wants to just beat us up. Hey, you're sons and daughters of God. Brother Brown said, you have enough deity in you to create worlds and go live on them. And Brother Vail, he said to me so many times, he said, Brian, he said, we ain't got enough faith to cure a hangnail. Something's got to happen to the bride to where she has faith for a resurrected body, for a change of the body. In closing, Acts 13:41, behold, you despisers and wonder and perish. For I work, God, I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man, though a vessel, declares it unto you. You hear the vessel, you don't believe it. Why? Because you're looking at the vessel. How could William Branham, 7th grade education, do these things? How could 7th grade education know these things? Well, you know what? The 7th grade education has nothing to do with it. William Branham has nothing to do with it. We just read a couple quotes from him. He said, if I said, thus saith William Branham, nothing would happen. But when God shows me and tells me, and I speak his word, what he told me to say, it happens. We all have God's word. You don't have to have a vision to know what's in here. We've already had the seventh and the last sign. And we take all other signs through the conduit of that sign and we have our answers. There you have it. God does the work and the man stands there and he declares what God is doing. You're just a witness. Then who should we focus upon? The man who is just a witness of what God is doing or the God who is doing? Then what are you going to do, brother, sister, when God brings it down personal to you? And he said, and it is God working in you, both to will. So you got to will before you can do. both to will and do. Who's doing it? God is doing it. Then whatever God does in you is a work of God. Is that not right? Then how can we say the works of God is only in one man? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you've helped us tonight to be able to focus in on you. And realize that with you all things are possible. That's when Brother Branham spoke. When God said, okay, where do you want those squirrels? He said, oh boy, this is good. I want one over there where squirrels can't, they don't go in those briars over there, okay? And where do you want the next one? I want it up in that sycamore tree. And he placed them where he knew that squirrels don't go. And God put them there anyway. And Father, some have unbelieving spouses or children. And Father, you can make them believe. And so, Lord, you said that if we apply the token, then we would have them. Job applied the token and his 7 children came back and everything else that he had was doubled back to him because he applied the token. He was a believing father. So, Father, we have loved ones that we apply the token tonight. And we ask you, O Holy Spirit, to go after them and do whatever you have to, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.